This is Will's Band of the Week for November 24th, 2010. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
And special guest, Jason.
Hello.
Hey, Jason.
This is cool. We have a guest in Fourth Bedroom Studios today.
Thanks for having me. This is quite exciting.
I bet it's the highlight of your career in some respects.
So far, yes.
Height of his podcasting career.
Yeah, we can at least say that. So about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jason's band, L10 Fun. So let's plug your band again.
Yep, L10 Fun.
And you have a website, which is l10fun.com. But you also have this, well, maybe we can talk when we talk about this other band later. We'll talk about your music collective thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, so before we get to all the fun and excitement, I would like to remind everyone that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Do you guys realize that?
I did.
It makes it look legitimate. You can go to iTunes and we're there, free of charge, and you can subscribe. Or you can just download them at will. You can find podcasts of bands you might be interested in, and it's like an a la carte thing.
Right.
So whatever method you prefer. Also, you can send us a good old-fashioned email to willsband@yahoo.com. You can post a comment on the website, willsband.net, or you can go to the Facebook page, which is the choice of many people, and that's just called the Will's Band of the Week podcast. What happened to that other Will's Band of the Week guy? I haven't looked that one up for a while. Have you guys looked at that? Remember that? We were going to...
Yeah.
Maybe he's cowered away.
I would think so. I mean... Made it pretty clear that he was not welcome.
Right. We did.
There should be a statute of limitations on having the name. If you don't post anything like within a year, they should just boot you, I think.
Right.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. Well, I think we need to research that because I haven't looked at that lately. All right. So, anybody got any music news? I don't have actual music news, but I have like my own personal music news.
I have some news.
Okay, let's hear Chris's news.
This is exciting. I bought a new computer, and so therefore I was in the process of taking my entire catalog and shifting it over to my new computer, which I figured out consists of 26,000 songs.
Wow.
And in doing so, I realized that a lot of them, you know, like don't have the little picture next to them, and a lot of them, the names are kind of sketchy, and so I've actually set out for myself as a goal to have the perfect iTunes collection.
Cleaning it all up, right?
Cleaning it completely up so there's no duplicates, there's no names that are out of order. I want to have, like, I have huge respect for people who have the perfect iTunes collections. Nothing out of place. So I figured it's going to take a couple weeks, but if I hammer away at it, I think I can get it done.
You know, from time to time, I've done these little iTunes cleanup jobs. And if you have, let's say you've got an album and you bought like 9 out of the 11 tracks you bought somewhere, eMusic or Amazon or whatever. But say you've got 2 tracks you got somewhere else, like maybe you got them on a paste sampler, or maybe you got them off somebody's blog or they were a promo track or something. That always messes up the iTunes library. Like one of them might have the artwork that's slightly different, like a different shade of red or something, and then iTunes thinks it's 2 separate album covers, or
yes,
one of them might have some little note in the file. It's just, it's a real pain.
You can spend days working on it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Have you done that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've spent hours upon hours, like changing the years of stuff.
Yeah.
I did that once, yeah. You can research it on Amazon to figure out what year it came out. At least that's where I found it. I wanted to put the years on all my stuff.
Yeah, I did that too, just so I could see whatever, you know, everything that came out this year. And I think all the new Beatles remastered stuff had 2009 on it or whatever. And so I had to go through and change every year to 1965, 1966. It was amazing how many Beach Boys albums came out in 67, though.
They have like three albums in that year or something.
Yeah, I mean, bands, you know, they put a lot of albums out. Kind of Elton Fun does that, too. prolific pace. But, I mean, the Beatles, you know, 63 to 69 or 70, 13 albums. I mean, that's two a year.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. And they really slowed down at the end, too, so.
It's actually rappers that really screw everything up, because every other song on their albums are like, you know, Barrett featuring Will or Will featuring Jason or whatever. So, you know, you have to clean that all up, you know, and it especially screws it up if you put it on your iPod, because then you can't just listen by artist. You got to switch all that around, and it's just kind of a pain. I think Elton Fun probably does that. Like every other song is Elton Fun featuring, you know, Jay-Z or something.
Right, there's a different guest celebrity musician for each track.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, that's a big job. You know, one thing I do, I change the genre of everything to rock pop, just because it drives me crazy that like some stuff gets arbitrarily called alternative. You know,
right?
And then you'll get, you know, Nico Case will get called country or something, and I'm like, just it's all really just rock pop. You know,
right?
Except, you know, if it's jazz, I leave it jazz. But most stuff, I change it to rock pop.
But if you don't, I mean, if you don't really care, you could just leave it.
You're right. Or you could just be unnecessarily obsessive like me.
That's obsessive. One good thing, we're talking about the Beatles and iTunes and cleaning up your library. Finally, the album covers show up now that, you know, iTunes started selling Beatles songs.
Oh, so
I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Your pre-existing Beatles library, it got the artwork?
Not all of them.
Huh.
You know, like past masters, I don't think, showed up. And, you know, a couple of, like, you know, I don't know, Beatles for Sale or a couple of random ones just didn't show up. But they were always missing.
It just sort of updated itself once you opened up
it's
iTunes?
One of your preferences. Like you can go in there, okay. Like under file, whatever. And so that was kind of cool.
I just was afraid that iTunes was reaching in and changing your library for you. But
no, you have to actually do that.
That's good.
And a lot of times it'll misassign just some random stupid album cover.
Oh, yeah.
To an album.
I've seen it do that, yeah. Yep. All right. Well, good luck, Chris, with the 26,000 tracks.
I think probably two-thirds of them are missing the album art. So
man.
It's going to be quite a slog, but I'll give you frequent updates.
All right. How many listens, by the way, are you up to on the Y-O?
Yeah. Last time we talked, it was 77.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is now. There's got to be 10 more at least on there. So
seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been forgetting that. I meant to, you know, regularly we have to each week update how many times Chris has listened to the Y-Oak album.
So he knows Y-Oak better than I know, like, Rubber Soul, maybe.
Probably.
What the? That's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, better than I know...
Isn't that weird?
Better than I know the Kiss Destroyer album. All right. Here's my music news. It's a movie review. I saw the Runaways movie this week. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I thought.
Did not.
I was disappointed. You know, the Runaways, I learned about them when I was probably, I don't know, they're probably like my age, right? I think, like, I was a teenager, and I remember a friend of mine in a punk band, I think, told me about them. And so, you know, it was kind of a cool story, I thought, that I'd be interested in seeing. But I thought the movie was sort of, maybe my expectations were too high, but basically, they didn't do a very good job with the music part of it, and they focused on the interpersonal relationship part, and they didn't do a very good job on that either. I didn't think so. The whole thing was kind of disappointing. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
How many stars do you give it, Jason?
Maybe one. I don't know.
Wow, you're harder on it.
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy it at all. I don't know.
I mean, I'd give it maybe 2.5. It was at least, I'm not really regretting that I watched it, but I'm glad that I did not encourage my wife to watch it, because she really wouldn't have liked it, because basically a lot of it was just the lead singer being completely trashed on drugs and staggering all over the place, and that storyline didn't really go too far either. But I think we still should play this. I want to play just so people know what the Runaways sound like. They sounded like this. That's the iTunes sample of Cherry Bomb, which is really, I guess I'd have to say, probably one of their only... They didn't have a lot of great songs, but that one was pretty cool, I thought.
Any idea what year that it's from?
Around, like, 77,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, probably 76 or 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that is also, I believe, on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack, and it kind of doesn't really fit with a lot of the other songs on the soundtrack, so...
It was.
I think that movie is set right around 1976, so that would make sense then.
I think they were, they might have been a little more metal than punk, but they might have been kind of the beginnings of punk. And for people who don't know, Joan Jett was probably the most well-known member of the band.
And they were also kind of a manufactured group, like put together by an impresario.
Right.
Like Menudo?
Like Menudo, like New Kids on the Block. And like L. Tin Fun.
Yeah.
All three of those bands. No, L. Tin Fun is completely organic. That's a real band. But, you know, and they tried to, like, one of the hooks was like, ooh, listen to these naughty lyrics. And they're only like.
Right.
Probably portraying them as even younger than they were. But I don't know. They were not, you know, 20.
They were 15 and 16. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. I think it was really only later when, you know, the Riot Girl thing came around that people looked back and kind of assigned importance to them.
Yeah, that could be. And when Joan Jett had a successful solo career, then people looked back at the Runaways. And I kind of didn't realize that Lita Ford was in the Runaways. Remember
wow.
Lita Ford? She had kind of a cheesy 80s hit called Kiss Me Deadly.
Yes.
Which, talk about manufacturing.
She had that, and I believe she had another, did she have a duet with Ozzy Osbourne? I think she
Yes, which I wouldn't have remembered, but I was looking up Lita Ford when I was doing my Runaways research, and I saw that. Yeah. Yeah, that is like the greatest thing that could happen to a person's career. You do a duet with Ozzy Osbourne.
You listening, Jason?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that to happen to me. One day.
Elton Fun featuring Ozzy Osbourne. All right. Okay, we have a lot of music, and there's so much music that I don't even know if we'll get to all of it, because I have an almost endless supply. It's like a bottomless cup of coffee music version. So... Well, we're going to start out by following up on a band that Chris and I were talking about last week called Girl Talk, which isn't really a band, right, Chris?
No, I believe it's actually just one guy.
It's a guy, and he's sort of a DJ, right?
Yes.
And we forgot his name, but he has this record label called Illegal Art, which I think is kind of funny because we were talking about this, like, how does he get away with doing this? Because he's using all these other artists' samples, right?
Yes.
And, well, this one he's given away, but I did look, and some of his stuff is actually for sale.
Oh.
Like on Amazon, and they do charge for it, so.
Yeah, I paid money for the last one.
Yeah.
Which,
I had seen it in record stores, so.
Yeah. I'm sure that was split up 100 ways.
Well, he does.
Like a thousand.
A thousand ways.
Yeah.
He does go out of his way to thank all the artists, and I found, did you see on... there's a link on his website where it actually has a list of every sample that is on the album. And it's like, well, not every sample, but every artist who is sampled. And it's like, it's just like 100 or something. It's really a long list.
I went out of my way not to look at that. And I just wrote down the ones that were super obvious to me. And I've got a little note here, but I'll read some of them off later. But
funny you should mention that, because actually right before this podcast, I actually sat down with my iPod and listened to it through. And on the Wikipedia page, It actually has each song and then each song that's sampled within each song and the exact second that it comes in.
Wow.
In the song. So it's all broken down totally. And so it's just absolutely amazing to just sit there and listen to it and watch as the song comes up that you can hear it.
Right.
And by looking at this and then listening, there are so many songs that you didn't know were in there that, you know, you kind of, something kind of sounded familiar, but when you see it written down, it's like, oh yeah, that's what that is. And it's just, when you see it written out, some of the combinations are just amazing.
So why don't you start us off with one, Chris?
Oh, I mean, you could pretty much start with anyone. The let's go with Jump on Stage, number 4.
I keep my shit cooked to alter in order to satisfy my people in Georgia and cross the water. And across the border, the essays are getting smarter. They got flour for tortillas and lettuce for enchiladas. If you follow, wink, wink, no doubt we don't speak in a blink. Them folks can have you sleeping in the clink. I'm sitting on niggas and peeing on the seat. It's the nigga, the B-I-D-B-O-I-O-U-T. Now party people in the club, it's time to cut the rug and throw the noose up in the sky just for the shut the buzz. I'm double-fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. I'm double-fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. People in the club, it's time to cut a rug and throw the deuce up in the sky just for the shutter buzz. I'm double fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. Boy, stop, I'm just playing. Boy, stop.
Now this goes out to all my players in the back, sipping yak, getting round corners in the lack.
Club. Get up, get up, get up.
Do that shit, do that shit, do it.
Now this goes out to all my ladies in the back.
What you want? You make me wanna breathe.
Foot 9, so I can get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but Yoshi's really fine. You know I see her all the time, everywhere I go. Even in my dreams, I got scheme of ways to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball. So how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases never picked at all. So I just need to put...
Alright, so just within that little 2-minute sample, you heard Portishead, Notorious B.I.G., Naughty by Nature, Big Boy, Amory, The Talking Heads, Take Me to the River, Ice Cube, 50 Cent, Diddy featuring Christina Aguilera, The Edgar Winter Group's Frankenstein, 50 Cent, Ski-Lo, and then an obscure 80s song from Tapao called Heart and Soul. So that was all crammed into that 2-minute little vignette.
Wow, just that segment.
Yes.
Yeah, when I said 100, that was low, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Listening to it, a lot of it, like, it tends to, almost invariably, it's one old song, a lot of, you know, 80s, 70s, 60s, all over the place, and then one kind of newer hip-hop song, and I never recognize the hip-hop.
Yeah, me either.
Except in very rare cases, but I'm kind of guessing it's a lot of Wu-Tang, and am I right? Was one of you guys know that? It
I
sure
no
seems
idea.
Like it.
No, me either.
Like, that's kind of an uneducated guess. And then some, what else was I thinking of? De La Soul in there.
It's not very much De La Soul.
There's
but,
some, though.
He does seem to be, well, it's only because there are so many members of the Wu-Tang Clan that have broken off and are now solo. But the reason that I picked this song, and I didn't know how much of it you were going to play, but there's a part where it's Radiohead's Creep and Old Dirty Bastard's Shimmy Shimmy Ya playing at the same time.
Yeah, I remember when
Creep... that was just such a brilliant combination.
That's a little late, like about halfway through. That's really good.
It starts at the 252 mark.
Right. I hadn't heard Creep for so long, and when that came on and I was listening, I was like, isn't that Radiohead? You know, that's the reaction you get on some of these.
And then a little bit later, you get Prince's Delirious.
Right.
And then it ends with Iggy Pop's Lust for Life, the Beastie Boys' Hey Ladies, and then Lady Gaga all kind of mixed into one, into the end. So
right, I made a little note that when they're playing the Iggy Pop and the Beastie Boys at the same time, that was the only time in the whole thing where I knew
you knew both of them.
Both of them, what was going on? And it's also kind of sad that hearing the Iggy Pop thing just makes you think of the Jim Rome show. It doesn't make me think of, like,
oh,
you know, yeah, Iggy Pop being a heroin addict or something. Wow. So
there also is apparently a little part of White Town's "Your Woman" in that little part, but that may just be a beat that he stole or something. So yeah, I didn't recognize it. I didn't hear it in there.
Some okay. of the things are really, really small. Like in one of the songs, I didn't make a note of which one it was in, but there's just a, you know, that little yell in "Should I Stay or Should I Go?"
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
they throw that in there. Just that, you know, it like lasts, you know, a fraction of a second.
There was one part that had, let's see, I'm trying to see where it was, that had, oh, Nine Inch Nails is "Closer," just the beat in the background, just for a couple seconds, and that's like one of my favorite songs, and I didn't even recognize it until I saw it listed here on the list, and song number 3.
Hmm. Okay, Barrett, you've been studying this, so let's hear your pick.
All right, I'm going to pick track number 8, and the I've got notations here. I heard some Jackson Brown, "Madness," and the Temptations in there.
Okay, well, we'll see what we hear for the at least the first part of the track.
The game of taper, but everybody gon' feel the need to say something, but can't speak up whenever you face them. That's what you call microphone gangsters. Yeah, I got a mocha dough. Yeah, I'm raw, you know my flow. Cause folk be acting extra hard like a Viagra overdose. Talking that noise on all them songs. A bunch of little boys, but y'all look grown. Those niggas there and these niggas here, it really don't matter cause they all just clones. Go to school, read the book, be a lawyer. Hell yeah, man, I'm all for the cause. And I ain't trying to get involved with the law, sir. But a nigga will get caught with the most murder. Just ain't a break on the song. Don't get it wrong, we're protecting my own. Just niggas that slip, they don't last long.
We got them going down, but it count. Looking at the ground. That's why we got haters. That's why we got haters. Haters everywhere we go. Haters everywhere we go. Haters everywhere we go. Where we go. Haters going down, but it count. Looking at the ground. I think you're a hater. I think you're a hater.
Well, it's arbitrary where I stop it. So that was Belinda Carlisle, right?
Right. That started off with some Belinda Carlisle.
And then Layla. The piano part of Layla? Is that it or not?
No, that was
it's not Layla?
Part of the intro to
that piano
Jackson
thing.
Brown's...
You sure?
I thought it was Layla.
Okay, well then it...
It's Layla, Derek and the Dominoes.
Oh, good. I got it.
Okay.
Also, Afro-Rican Black Box... B.O.B. featuring Rich Boy, Mandrill's "Honey Butt," and then right at the end you heard Michael Jackson's "Black or White." If you had played it another 30 seconds, you would have heard Madness's "Our House," some T-Rex, Young MC's "Bust a Move," along with Kylie Minogue's "Can't Get You Out of My Head," Temptations, 2 Live Crew, etc. So you get the idea.
Wow. Jason, do you have a pick from this one?
No, I don't. I really should give this one some more time, I think.
What did you think? I talked to you earlier. You didn't seem like you were
Yeah, I downloaded it and I listened to the first couple of songs and I felt like the novelty sort of wore off for me pretty quickly. But I mean, it's still like listening to it here. It's like it's very amazing what he's doing, and I think it'd be interesting to see what he does just making his own music, maybe, and seeing if he can get some rappers, you know, to feature on track to track. And because I'm sure he's obviously got some sort of ideas for, I don't know, songcraft maybe.
Right.
That he could possibly pick up a drum machine and, you know.
Well, listening to this kind of makes you think about the nature of art, doesn't it? A little bit. I mean, is he an artist? He's a craftsman.
He's a massive cutter and paster. Yeah.
I don't know that he's creating. Well, I don't know.
What? Would you consider the guy that did the Obama thing, the famous picture, the Hope picture? Because he took that picture from like Newsweek or something like that, and then created his own kind of art, and got sued apparently. I guess
right.
So yeah. Same thing kind of Andy Warhol did with his tomato cans and stuff like that.
Right.
Taking pop culture art and kind of switching it around, making it your own.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'll pick one. I kind of like it when he mixes the old and the new, like a 70s riff with a beat. So this is track 6, On and On.
Let's go. Come on. I go on and on and on, and we'll take them to the crib unless they're boning. Easy, call them on the phone and clap them Chanel cologne, and I stay dressed to impress, spark a bitch in interest. All I expect, cause they watch TV in the left. They know, quarter past four, left the club tips, say no more, except how I'm getting on tomorrow. She's a drop you off when it's in the hole. Back in my mind, I hope she swallows. I'm matching to the drink on my three wallows. Reach the gate, something just ate. Riffin', she got to meet the work by 8. This must mean she ain't trying to wait. Call the safe, sex on the first date. I stay, you know what you do to me. She starts off when I don't usually. Then I whip it out, rubber no doubt. Step out, show me what you all about. Fingers in your mouth, open up the blouse. Pull your jeans, bring down south. Blew that back out, in the parking lot. Buy a Cherokee and a green drop top. And I don't stop, until I squirt. Jeans, skirt, butt naked, it all works.
I want the pearl, I want the life, I want tonight, my fruits of labor, I want them ripe, that's right, private flight, money gets back to the highest height, better get your madness, science right, but I want the drama, God and light, I want the hype, but I don't believe it, I want it all, but I know I don't need it, man, I just want what's due, and I want you.
Okay, so he went from Eric Clapton, right, Cream, Sunshine of Your Love, to... the drum roll from We're an American Band.
Yes, very good.
And then it went into New Order, which I thought was kind of an interesting transitional kind of thing.
Indeed.
Just sort of the unpredictability of it all. You just don't know where it's going. You know, one of the things, like, when you're looking through this big list of all these artists, some of it's probably the drums, right? Because I keep thinking, you know, for some reason that he would do these beats himself, but probably not, right? Probably the drums are also samples.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, because there are a lot of, you know, when he plays like a 70s song where the original recording might be a little thin, it sounds like he's either added bass or drums or something to kind of thicken it up. But
right.
I don't know if he's taking those from like a current rap song or whether he's actually doing them himself.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine that he was taking drum parts from other recordings. That's why I was kind of like, well, I wonder what would happen if he was making his own stuff. But
yeah.
The Go Team would do it the other way. They do live drumming.
Yeah. Was that the Notorious B.I.G. again?
Yes, Nasty Boy from the Notorious B.I.G. Along with Keisha.
With a dollar sign, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my son calls her $HA or something like that.
Tick tock from Keisha.
All right.
So, like, the way I see this music, it's good for running, maybe all sorts of exercising. Bad for listening to with children.
Yeah.
And parents, for sure. And probably co-workers and most people. I mean, it's, I don't know. A lot of this subject matter would make you uncomfortable to hear it around people.
That is kind of my one reservation, the fact that, I mean, it's so fun. It'd be so great to listen with your kids, and, you know, you obviously can't.
Yeah.
But if I were like 22 years old and thought one day that would be a concern of mine, I would just I would drink cyanide at that point.
Yeah.
But I'd be worried about one day my kids might hear bad words or something.
Yeah.
Jason's old. Jason's younger than we are, but you're older than 15, right?
Correct. I am twice that.
Twice that, exactly.
This year.
Yes.
My 30th anniversary.
All right.
And I was getting embarrassed listening to it with him here. I
didn't thinking it was a bad influence, yeah.
I didn't want to look. I couldn't make eye contact with him.
Well, maybe he'll make a kid-friendly album next, and we can all sit around the campfire and play this out of our boombox.
He could mash up, like, Rafi and whatever.
The Wiggles?
The Wiggles.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Did you guys see, one of the thoughts I had while I listened to this is, I like the beat and it's fun and everything. And, but part of what keeps me from liking it more is that I just really don't like rap that much. You know, I've never been able to like buy a whole rap album and listen to it through, you know?
Right.
So that led me into thinking, wow, I wonder why it is that everybody is giving the new Kanye West album a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
An average of 100.
It was on Metacritic, and it was like average of 9 reviews, 100. And then, but then a day later,
there
it was down to 98.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. Is that even, people really think that this guy has made like the best rap or hip hop album that you could ever make? That's what the reviewers think, right? I guess.
That's what the numbers would lead you to believe, I think.
So, Chris, what's your take on this? You know more about this genre than probably the rest of us.
I got the first couple Kanye West, and they were actually pretty good. Pretty inventive. But I kind of lost interest after the second one, I think. If this is a return to form in his first two, then I imagine it's probably pretty good. I'm not going to rush out to the store to buy it or anything, or rush onto iTunes to get it. But I don't know. I suppose it's possible. I guarantee you it's not the greatest rap album ever made, which the score would indicate. But
yeah,
It might be I mean, he can make stuff that's listenable, stuff that's actually musical. So
I'm definitely going to give it a listen because his last one was kind of a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I love that last record. Not like the whole thing, but there are definitely some songs from it that I enjoy putting on and annoying everyone in my house with every once in a while.
I almost bought it because it was $3.99 on Amazon as a special, and I thought maybe I should spend $4 on something that all these reviewers give a 10. But then I thought, nah, I guess not.
What do they know?
Yeah. But I did buy the Gorillaz album because it was $1.99 today on
Plastic
iTunes.
Plastic Beach?
Yeah, they're doing like they're doing the Black Friday week or whatever promotions. You can get the Belle and Sebastian album that we already all have, but you can get it for $1.99. But now I guess you can. If you're listening to this podcast now, you'd be a couple days late, so you missed it. But yeah.
Maybe if you call up Amazon and mention
Will's Band of the Week.
Code word Will's Band.
That's right. We've got connections to Amazon. Well, you know, we're on iTunes, you know. So
right.
we're with the big corporate boys. So, I forgot to mention earlier that there's a little bit of theme to the music we're talking about. This is music you can get for free, which is always a good thing, right? And the next band I've got that has something for free is a band called A Sunny Day in Glasgow, which is not from Glasgow. They're from Philadelphia. And they have two core members and a whole bunch of other members. And I wanted to read, because I thought this was interesting. This is from their Wikipedia page. 2009 saw the band release their second studio LP, Ashes Grammar. During the recording process, the band was forced to undergo several member changes. The first of these changes came when former bassist Bryce Hickey fell when loading equipment into his car, breaking several bones in his legs. This left Ben Daniels to record the bass parts for the album, but also meant that vocalist Robin Daniels had to leave to care for the bedridden Hickey, who is her boyfriend. Lauren Daniels also had to leave the group due to attending grad school in Colorado, forcing Ben Daniels and guitarist-drummer Josh Meekum to recruit vocalist Annie Fredrickson, also a classically trained cellist and pianist. After the album was recorded and the decision was made to tour, Ryan Neumeier joined as bassist, and Meekum's friend Adam Herndon was made permanent drummer. In addition, through an advert via their MySpace blog, the band found another vocalist, Jen Goma. The new lineup completed all of the songs from the Ashes sessions and issued and released them as the Nighttime Rainbows EP in March 2010 and Autumn again later in October. So, anyway, I just thought that was quite
a story.
So
the guy broke his leg and then the singer, who was his girlfriend, quit the band to attend to the guy with the broken leg?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's lame.
And then somebody went to grad school, and then they get more people.
That's just
and
an excuse.
It's just like it's all over the place.
Like she wanted Chris out. Broke his leg. Like, Will, I can't do it anymore. I got to attend to Chris's broken leg.
Right.
Like, really? Can't Chris still do it?
Yeah.
No.
I would demand Barrett be around me at all times.
So Autumn Again is the album, the latest one, and they released it for free. Not only is it free, like, on, you know, their website, but it's free on Amazon, which is kind of funny because I would think Amazon would charge them to, you know, to just have it up there. But you can go to Amazon and it just says free. So it's kind of cool. And I think it's pretty good. Some of their longtime fans, well, it can't be that long. They haven't been around that long, but some of their fans think maybe this is a little too poppy and some of the other stuff is more abstract, but I kind of like this myself. Well, did you guys get a chance to listen to this at all?
I listened to this a few times, actually. I had took a trip over the weekend, and it really worked out with being up in the air, like flying, I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole mood of the album kind of matched that.
Yeah, floating through the air.
Yeah. Like,
you have to be high to listen to this.
Literally, yeah.
But yeah, I didn't read the background, so it's kind of interesting that it's pretty much a new band here that you're hearing, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of getting.
Right. And they're kind of shoegazy, and at times they remind me of, tell me if you guys agree, at times they sound a little bit like Broken Social Scene. When they have, to me, when they have like a whole bunch of stuff going on at the same time.
Well, I don't know. I like thought of the 80s a lot more, and maybe like the Cocteau Twins or something kind of popped into my head here and there. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Let's hear a track, guys. Who wants to pick one?
Well, I nominated the band, so I'll pick the first one.
Go for it.
I'm going to go with track 9. It's called Calling It Love Isn't Love. Don't Fall in Love.
Yeah, it also sounds like the band Lush. This album Spooky from 93.
Yep.
It sounded a lot different after that album. But that album, it sounds just like that.
Yeah, maybe that's why I like them. I liked Lush a lot back then.
Yeah, I heard a little Jay-Z and then some ELO and then maybe some Rancid and some Beck. We're still on Girl Talk, right?
Yeah, yeah. There was all those influences were there, I think, in one place or another.
Not influences, samples.
Right. Snoop Dogg was just
more
about
subtle,
to come in when
more
he turned
subtle
it on.
Samples. Like instead of you know like a drum beat for it'd be just like a drum strike, boom.
Right?
You know, just
right.
one,
just that snare.
From dozens of different
yeah.
songs.
So, Jason, as we were floating above the clouds, what track or tracks might have caught your ear?
Well, that was my favorite one, but the one right after that is also really great as well.
These titles are too long, so you have to like play around with the display here. Okay, track 10 is called This Ass Clown Eats Ambien or Nobody Likes You, No Art. Nice title. Here it is. That's a relatively short track, and I was fading it out thinking I probably shouldn't play the whole track, and then I thought, but really that shouldn't be a problem. It's a free album, right?
That's true.
They probably
You're
wouldn't
right
mind,
on.
Right? Yeah.
I was trying to think of who that sounded like, but I think the band that I was thinking of is one of those recent bands that already sounds like an 80s band, so we might actually be getting to the point where like the new bands are starting to pay tribute to the bands that pay tribute to the 80s
right,
bands.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's like when a band does a cover of somebody else's cover, it always kind of, I always sort of objected to that. Like I've been in bands or had friends in bands and they say, oh, we're going to do a cover of, you know, this song. And it's a cover of another band doing a cover of somebody else. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're going to do the, whatever, this other band's version. And I'm like, hey, it's already a cover, so, you know, why don't you take a song that somebody else didn't do a cover of and do your right. own cover, at least change something, you know?
So. Yeah, well, there's some people that do a cover and it actually becomes more popular than the original.
Right.
Like, didn't Joe Cocker's, like, Little Help From My Friends actually maybe exceed the Beatles version?
Yeah, definitely.
Am I right or am I wrong on that?
I would have to say so. I mean, that's, if you're going to hear one on classic rock stations, it's going to be Joe Cocker.
I think I've heard the Beatles one more, but I mean, I've heard them both a lot, obviously. So
but now, like on American Idol or whatever, when they do a version, inevitably they do like the Joe Cocker version.
Right? They're not going to do the Ringo Starr like flat singing version.
Right. Okay. So I'm getting the impression that Baird and Chris don't have a pick from this. Do you guys?
I don't. I've got a sound effect that's going to go along with, let me just explain this. It's a when I sleep, I'm a terrible, I need like white noise in the house when I'm sleeping. So I downloaded this app called White Noise, and one of them is Airplane.
Oh,
so I'm
cool.
Put the, just to sort of remind Jason of what it sounded like to be in the plane.
Okay, here we go.
So just play any little sample of the music.
Do you want to play it with
okay,
the...
Okay, play it just raw.
And okay, yeah. This is girl talk in action right here.
Right.
Right now.
Say, well, I'll pick my my next pick.
Be loud enough.
Oh, there you go. Okay, here you go. I'll turn up the airplane a little bit. That was from the last track, along
back
with
memories, Jason.
Right at home.
Now, to make it actually realistic, you also have to like mix in the sound of Jason getting patted down by a TSA agent.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
That'll bring back memories.
Or Jason saying, let's roll, when you thought somebody was going to try to get into the cabin, but it didn't, wasn't actually true.
Right.
So Jason was arrested by the air marshals.
Yes. It was taking a rough down weekend. Some guy with box cutters or something.
Well, my fiance had little scissors because she does a lot of knitting and stuff, and she had scissors in her bag, and I was surprised we didn't get in any trouble for that.
Really?
Yeah. They let her right on through with all these needles and...
Wow.
You know,
that's
for knitting
interesting.
And, yeah.
Because you could knit a gun, maybe, like if you were very skillful, and right?
Yeah.
Those little, you know, those little scissors.
you've got to see Connie knit. I mean, I wouldn't put it past her.
She might be able to walk in behind some guy that was ticking or something. Like.
So one last comment on this album, okay? Let's get back on track, you guys. It has these funny titles, and they're sort of like. What I remember back in the 80s with this style of music, people used to always call it pretentious. You know, like, these guys are obnoxious, you know. They think they're, like, trying too hard to be creative or something. But one of the best titles is track 7. It's called Violent Mary Haunts Me or Loss of Forgetfulness on Renfrew Street.
So, yeah, that puts an end to that argument. I think it's a bit much.
Yeah, it was. But then there's one called Fall in Love, you know? So they keep it simple on a couple of them. So there you go. That's something you can get for free. And, well.
Worth every cent.
At least I think it's good. Okay. Now.
Yeah, I did like it. I didn't weigh in on that. I'll give it a thumbs up, Jason, too.
Me, too.
Yeah,
enjoyed it.
Now we're going to go to what we've been trying to do on this podcast for like a year. And had only limited success. That is to talk about some local music, some good music coming from the Madison area. And it's not like part of it is we just haven't tried hard enough, I think. And I didn't try hard enough on this one either, except that Jason and one of his friends put this up on the Facebook page and said, hey, listen to this. It's a band called Slow Loris. So, you know, and it was free on that Bandcamp site. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to it and I said, hey, this is pretty good. We should talk about this. So, Jason, why don't you tell us about this? And this is somebody you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a friend of mine that I think about a year ago or so, he contacted me actually on MySpace. And he had just moved into the area. And I think it was kind of the first time anybody had contacted me on MySpace where I actually enjoyed listening to their music. So he contacted me, came out to one of my shows, and we exchanged CDs, and we became friends, like, over the last year or so. He's actually from Delaware and spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, and I think that was the case with the last band. They're from Philadelphia, right?
Right,
and yeah. I think Girl Talk is also from there.
Oh, so we have another theme going on.
This is the Philadelphia show.
All yeah. Right. So, yeah. So he's put together this album, and I think it's great.
It's pretty good, and it's got really cool artwork too. So the whole thing looks cool. So you know, he's just got to send it to Pitchfork, so they think it's cool in there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to bust out the 11 for
right.
this one.
Right. I mean, if Kanye West gets a 10, this should get at least to like a 10.5. I think.
Right.
I think so.
So he calls himself Slow Loris, but this is like one guy, right? Did he do
yeah,
everything?
It's just him in his apartment, and everything is done by Mr. Wesley Doyle.
It's actually funny because in preparation for this, we had a number of CDs, and I just in the last couple of days kind of tried to plow through about 5 different CDs, and
yeah,
none of them really caught my ear. And it was funny because we were going, you know, as we were going to do this, the one that I said that I think I actually like is Slow Loris. Without knowing anything about it, I had no idea that this was like a local guy. So it's just ironic that this would that would be the one that I liked.
That's good. It's a scientific test.
Very good.
It's the one that stood out of maybe like the 5 that I listened to. So,
all right. Well, let's see. We shouldn't put Jason on the spot by making him pick the first track, right? We should do it, right? Chris, do you want to pick one?
I don't really have one to pick. I mean, I probably gave it 2 listens. So, I don't know. You guys go ahead and pick one.
I'll go with track 4. It's called Wichita.
Now, I didn't get a chance to listen to this, but the 2 things that I think that this would be a marriage of would be Waves and Skip Spence.
Wow, there's an interesting combination.
Like, the first part sounds like Skip Spence to me, and then it gets a little Wavesy in there, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, and I think he's got a good variety of... grungy, and then there's a lot of different sounds. We'll get to some more of the different sounds that he does. But is he playing live drums there, or is that a drum machine?
It's I think it's some sort of program, but he actually is playing them.
Okay, because it has a feel of
a real person.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't sound too mechanical,
right?
So. That really helps it, I think.
But I think he was, at the time, he was living out in Fitchburg, and I don't think that they allow real drums to be played in apartments.
I remember
in Fitchburg.
I remember in my younger days, you know, like I'd be looking for a place to live and I'm like, it can't just be like an apartment with like, you know, a thin floor because I, you know, I'm going to get yelled at, you know. So I always wanted to be like in an old house with a basement or something.
Yeah, he's recently moved, so who knows what's going to come out next.
So his artistic limits, he's being held back by merely by where he lives.
I think so.
Yeah.
It hasn't even scratched the surface of the potential.
So if he moved out more... like 50 miles away, he'd be like a genius.
See, I think sometimes, you know, artistic genius comes through working through limitations. I think he should maybe get a job like in an office in a cubicle and record the songs in there, very limited. Like you can't make too much noise. You got to be very creative.
Right.
You turn it up later, but
yeah,
with what you're doing, you can't let people know that you're recording music. That would be pretty interesting.
Well, we're calling like the PowerPoint session.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I think he's got the cubicle, so all we need is the portable recording studio.
Did a job bring him to Madison? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. He took a job here in Madison, and that's what brought him here. And a year later, he's still here.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Now, what do you think, Jason? Is there a track that you would recommend?
I think, let's see. I'd have to say La La Swim is kind of the hit. It seems like it's getting a lot of rounds out there on the blogs. So,
all right. Track 2, La La Swim. Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, that riff is great.
Got a Joy Division Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I was going a different way on that. Like the, I remember talking about the big theme kind of for the first half of the year was like the beachy stuff that we had listened to. A lot of beachy, you know, Surfer Blood and, you know, all those bands. And Real I thought that kind of had a little bit of that in
it
there.
It did. Yep.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, knowing him,
Real
I know
estate,
that that's a,
bands like that.
Best Coast.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is a definite influence.
I think he's got a couple of primarily instrumental tracks on here also that are really good. So I'll pick one of them. Number 10, Apartment Crux. Thank you. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it was the first time I heard that noise that comes in there in the middle was just kind of shocking to me that he went that way.
Yeah.
But exciting.
Yeah.
Have we done this? Unexpected. Done a segment on songs with one-note bass lines?
Oh, no, I guess we haven't.
Did you notice that?
I now that you mentioned it, I noticed it. Yeah.
I thought you being a bass player.
Yeah, I should have noticed
the
it.
The one-note bass line.
I didn't take offense, though. I thought it was cool because it's kind of cutting and a little overdriven, and it's good. So we should mention this. You heard it here first, right? We need to remember that.
Right.
Okay?
Unless you heard it somewhere else first.
Yeah, unless you did, yeah. So, Jason, what is the best way for someone to get this album?
Well, he's got, there's several avenues here in this digital age. But I think I believe it's slowlorismusic.wordpress.com is his blog, and you'll find it there. And then he's got it up on Bandcamp, and I'm not sure the address on that, but...
Yeah, Bandcamp doesn't have a very good index. I think, like, when things are on Bandcamp, just go to Google and type in Slow Loris Bandcamp. It'll pop up. Right?
Yeah. Yep. And then some friends of mine, including Wes, have a new website called itkrecords.com, and you can also find it there.
Right, and that's the In the Kitchen Collective that Will had alluded to earlier. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, it's just basically friends of mine that I play with in Media Raid, Tom and a couple of guys in Media Raid. We had just kind of come to the conclusion that we should have a central place where we're kind of putting stuff out online where people can see everything, I guess. And so we started up this website, but we also wanted to include other things because, you know, we have friends that do crafts or writing and cooking. And so we're just kind of slowly getting it off the ground here.
Podcasting.
Oh.
Podcasting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Are we cool enough to be in the collective?
Yeah, you got it.
Is there any sort of an analog you can compare this to? Like musically, maybe it's like Elephant Six, but then you put in the crafting and cooking.
I don't know. Maybe this is the first of its kind.
Maybe this is a new thing.
No, I don't know.
Rachel Ray part of the Elephant Six Collective? I don't think so.
If she were,
though, it might be sort of like this.
Definitely.
But that's cool. And so all the stuff is sort of one sensibility and...
Definitely. I think mostly, like, I'm just hoping that everybody that comes to the website for Slow Loris will... just jump on the Elton Fun bandwagon.
Right.
That's all I want out of it. But
you want everybody to like not just your things, but everything.
Oh.
But mostly your things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wait till people come to the collective and see my dancing because that's how I'm getting in.
Yeah, I can. Well,
because I can dance like a robot.
He didn't say anything about dancing as being part of the collective. But.
Well, I'm forcing my way in as a robot dancer.
Not like
an angry robot that's looking to take over the world, more of like a gentle robot.
Well, I'm going to be checking the website for the link to the video of Chris dancing, because I'm sure it'll be up there. Everyone keep checking it, okay?
Finally a place where I can just be myself.
I think, you know how we had that that puff pancake recipe? Maybe that would be part of the collective.
I would think so.
I've got a recipe... The ultimate Wisconsin recipe. It's a casserole.
Oh, my God.
Brats and tots. Bratwurst and tater tot casserole.
It's about as Wisconsin as you could get.
Are you auditioning? So, are we witnessing an audition?
We are. You're auditioning with your dancing. I'm auditioning with my brats and tots.
We're all trying to impress Jason to try to get on his website.
So all you guys have to do is go to itkrecords.com and look at the contact info. And you can email us, and we'll consider all of your applications seriously.
By consider, you mean because we're your friend, it's on there automatically.
Correct.
We expect special treatment, yes.
No, I'm gonna check that out, and it's just, it sounds like a fun thing and a cool thing for anybody that just wants to check out a varied bunch of content that's all created by creative friends and... Yeah,
yeah, and it's all cool. For free. I think
it's free
at this point. Get it while you can.
And it's great that you know, some of us have a long history in Madison, and there's been there. It always seems like Madison should have a good depth of good musical artists, but for so long, for some reason, we've had so much R&B and just the standard stuff and the sort of alternative rock stuff that, I guess for me, that I think there should be a lot more of in Madison just hasn't been here. So I think it's cool right. to see a kind of a little indie rock thing growing in Madison.
We should have a bigger scene than Omaha, Nebraska.
You think so? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I've been there, and yeah, it wasn't too exciting.
Well, I had one other band, but I think we've gone long enough. I don't need to play the other band, but I'll just mention them. From another blog, I found this band from New Zealand called Secret Knives, and they're also free on Bandcamp. So if you think you might like a kind of shoegazy band from New Zealand, something a little different, but also free on this Bandcamp site, just do a search for Secret Knives Bandcamp, one word. And you'll find it there. They have an album called Affection. And a guy named Mike Taylor, whose blog... I'll plug his blog, too. Mike Taylor used to be the program director at WOXY.com, my favorite internet radio station that went out of business in March earlier this year. And he's continued blogging, and he's got a blog now called The Big Beat, and he has a lot of good musical ideas on there. One of them was this Secret Knives thing, so check it out. And I think that's probably enough for this week. You think, you guys?
Sure.
I think so.
I did discover one other piece of free music the last couple of days. It was the leader of Deer Hunter, and Atlas Sound has been posting a ridiculous amount of free music.
Oh,
on
really?
Their blog. Yeah.
Brandon Cox?
Yeah. So I haven't really checked it all out yet, but that's what I'm doing right after this podcast.
So he's doing like he's got a blog and he just puts up free stuff?
Yeah, he's always been really great about putting up Deer Hunter demos and demos for his other Atlas Sound project. And yeah, so I think it's a bunch of Atlas Sound demos or something that he's put up.
Hmm. All right.
So it's more free music for everybody.
You know, until we talked about the Deer Hunter album, I never realized that the guitar player sings like half the songs. The other guy.
Yeah, that was surprising whenever I saw some video footage of them.
Yeah, because they fit so well sort of together. It's the whole sound, you know. Okay, well, cool. Very good. Jason, thanks for being here.
Well, it was an honor.
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, this is the first actual guest in the studio.
It is the first guest.
Yeah, so we'll have you on again if you're interested.
Definitely.
All right, cool. Chris, usually you have a brilliant closing remark, so let's hear it. You're on the spot right now.
I got nothing.
Okay.
That was classic.
Yeah, you said I got nothing. Classic work, Schneider.
Barrett, what do you have? With all those notes you prepared, wasn't there any closing remark?
All I typed in there was stuff that I heard in Girl Talk. We spent enough time on that.
All right. Well, I have a closing remark, and that is, we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week.
I knew I should have said that.
Good night.